Jesus, let's go. So I want to share with you a story that I've never actually shared outside of my family before. In fact, I'm not even sure that's true. I think I've only shared it with my wife and perhaps one other, but it's not something that I talk about very often. But it has such an important life lesson that I think could be powerful for so many people that I'm going to bite the fact that I don't like being emotional on camera and just share something with you. So, many of you know that I didn't have the best start in life, and I don't want this video to be about that at all. But during that time, there were two people who were really there for me at different stages of my life and in very different capacities. So the first one is, you know, my guardian angel, my grandmother. I call her my nan. She raised me for the first few years of my life and really protected me from a very toxic situation at home with my mother. And in many respects, you know, she was my real mother. I truly believe that. And she did a lot for me during that time. And, you know, I miss her every day. She passed away when I was 9, almost 10. She developed motor neurone disease, which, for those of you who don't know, is a horrible illness that affects the neurons and essentially shuts down one by one each of the functions inside your body until eventually there's nothing left. And it was rather aggressive and rather quick, but that was something that I had to witness. That was somebody who, the person I love the most in the whole world, and I had to watch them being tortured with this horrific illness. And, you know, and there are questions that are asked with that, especially as you're growing up. You know, why do good things happen to bad people? Why are there terrible people walking around this world with nothing seemingly happening to them, whilst there's amazing, incredible people who are going through that kind of torture? And I have some of my own thoughts and feelings on why that is, but that's not the purpose of this video. So when she passed, I dealt with it for a long time, because the last time I saw her, I remember being in the nursing home and they had those chairs with those huge backs, and she was in a really bad place. I couldn't look at her. And I remember really distinctly sitting in that chair, staring at the television and watching an old episode of The Simpsons that I'd probably seen 50 times before, and it wasn't even that interesting, but I just couldn't bring myself to look at my grandmother. And I could feel her eyes burning in the back of my head, and I still couldn't turn around. So I carried that for a very long time, because she died later that evening, and that was the very last time I ever saw her. And I carried around a sense of guilt for a very long time that I couldn't be stronger for her when she needed me to be. And that sense of guilt is something that took me a long time to deal with. I feel like I have in many respects. I think it still comes up from time to time. But I think there are other things that I have done in my life since that I think she would be very proud of. And quite frankly, now being a father of two children, one of whom is now the age that I was when my grandmother passed, I look at them and I think, they could not handle that situation. How can I look back and expect me to be able to do that at 9 years old, but not expect my daughter to be able to do the same thing at this age? It's very strange how we look back on our childhood, even with adult eyes, and expect more of ourselves than we would expect of our own children or of other children of that age. So we're very harsh and critical on ourselves, and I think that's the first thing that I would say. The second thing that I would say is that sense of guilt is a very strange one, because I've only ever experienced that feeling of guilt twice in my whole life. And the second time was unfortunately to do with somebody who was a very close friend of mine growing up. Now, this guy was a few years older than me, and he was like a big brother to me. We got up to lots of things that I wouldn't be allowed to put on camera, nor would I want to. But, you know, he introduced me to girls as a teenager. You know, he was a great friend of mine. He was often there when my parents weren't. He would come and watch me at sports games, for example, and we were very close friends. I loved him to pieces. And as is often the case as you grow older, you kind of lose a bit of contact with people, right? Your friends on Facebook, and but you know, you've moved to one part of the world, they've moved to another part of the world, you have one job, they have another job, and you lose contact. And I remember for a number of years when my children were first born thinking I should really get in contact with him, and I kept putting it off. I kept saying to myself, well, I'm kind of working on this project right now, I'll do it then, or you know what, we've got to go to South Africa for a few months, so I'll do it when I get back. And I kept procrastinating and putting off contacting this person, not because I didn't want to see them, I did, but because I knew that the first thing that would happen is we would both want to see each other and spend time together, and I wanted to be able to commit a good amount of time with that person. And you know, it had been several years since we'd last really spent much time together, maybe exchanged some social media, Facebook messages, the usual birthday and Christmas greetings, and that's about it. And a few years ago, I remember saying out loud the words to my wife, I'm going to contact him once I finished this project. And the project was about 6 weeks, and about 3 to 4 weeks into those 6 weeks, my phone exploded with phone calls from friends of ours who we'd grown up together with, informing me that he had passed away. He had, I don't know what the expression is these days that is the socially acceptable expression, he had taken his own life, he had opted out, he had quit the game. And I remember being surrounded initially by this incredible feeling of sadness that very quickly morphed into tremendous guilt, because I had no idea that he was struggling, and I didn't know he was struggling because I hadn't made myself available enough for him to share that with me. And as somebody who I credit with keeping me alive during some of the most difficult times of my life, I wasn't able to return the favor. So this is the second time in my life that I wasn't able to return the favor of somebody for protecting me. And I struggled with that feeling for a number of years. I struggled with that feeling for a whole host of reasons. I mean, some of them are cropping up now. So, like, I don't want to make what happened with him and his life about me, because it's not about me. It's entirely about him. And I don't mean that in a it's his fault kind of way. I mean that in a it's not for people to feel sad for me in that situation. It's to feel sad for him that's how he felt, that he felt he had no way out. So even talking about it brings up strange and conflicting emotions of I want people to love and think about him, not love and think about me thinking about him. I hope that makes some sense. But I think the hardest part for me was that I never got to tell him how much I loved him, and I never got to tell him how grateful I was for everything he'd done for me. And I found that probably the hardest thing in the world, because the difference between those two situations for me is that my grandmother knew how much I loved her. She knew she was my whole world. As a trying to play it cool teenage boy, and you know, we probably met when I was about 11 years old, and as a young man, and then a teenager, and then a young adult, I always tried to play it cool, and I don't think I ever told him how much he meant to me and how special that relationship was. And I am guilty that I wasn't able to be there for him when he needed to talk. And sometimes, you know, you hear this. I was watching a documentary the other day with a male mental health specialist talking about suicide within men, and he was saying that with most men, it isn't a mental health issue. It's a they've ran out of options issue. It's a very real response to feeling helpless, like there is no other way out. But on average, men will reach out 3 times to somebody for help before they realize that there's nobody coming. There's nobody offering that hand. There's nobody being there to help. And again, that brings a real sense of profound guilt, because I wish I could have been one of the people that he would have reached out to. And I didn't make myself available for that. But at the same time, there's a positive that comes from that, which is I now am that really annoying friend that asks you how you're doing, and when you tell me you're fine, I say, how are you really doing? I am the person that is constantly checking in with my loved ones and my friends to make sure that they're okay. I don't have a reason to talk to you other than the fact I just want to see how your day is. I want to tell you how important you are to me. I want to tell you how much I love you. I want to share a funny memory with you because I want to make sure you're okay. And I want to make sure that I never miss the opportunity again, male or female, to be somebody's phone call for help. And I think the reason I'm sharing this with you is that one of the most profound things that I think I can do in his memory in particular is to encourage you to be that person for somebody else. Don't wait for somebody to reach out to you and ask you for help. Be the person who proactively approaches them, and they will shut the door in your face and they will tell you that they're fine. But you know what? Just being there and loving them and being supportive, it's great for them, 110%. It's also really powerful for you, so that you never have to have this feeling that I have of tremendous guilt that I wasn't there to save somebody who saved me. Whew. That was not easy to say. So what I want you to do off the back of this video is 2 things for me, please. One is that I don't care whether it's an alcoholic drink, your smoothie, your Starbucks, your water, your coffee, not your Starbucks, don't drink Starbucks, your coffee, your water, your tea, whatever. I want you to raise a toast to all of our friends who are no longer with us. I think it's good to sit and remember them and remember how much we love them and the impact that they had on our lives. And then the second thing I want you to do is I want you to text 10 people. Just reach out to 10 of your friends and just let them know, hey, I'm just checking in to tell you that I love you, I'm thinking of you, and I want to know how you're doing. Doesn't matter how long it's been since you've last spoke to them. In fact, the longer it's been since you spoke to them, the better. Please don't put it off. And I'll wrap up with this. About 3 or 4 years after he passed, and I still had this tremendous feeling of guilt, I decided that I was going to message his mom on social media. And I just wanted her to know how much her son meant to me and how special he was to me, because I never got the opportunity to tell him. So I kind of hoped that there would be some peace in it for both of us, that it would be nice for her to hear how much his life mattered to somebody outside of the family, and that people still thought about him every day just as she must. But I also hoped that I would find some comfort in it, in being able to tell somebody how much he meant to me. So I messaged her on Facebook. And about 6 weeks later, I got a response. And I won't read you the exact response, but it essentially said, Phil, this was a really beautiful message, and I'm sure it would have meant a lot to her, but she passed 12 months ago. And I had that horrible feeling again. So please don't put it off. Please don't wait until the time is quote-unquote right to message somebody. The right time to message somebody and tell them that you love them and tell them you're thinking about them is right now. So please do those 2 things for me. Message those 10 people, tell them that you love them, and check in with them no matter how long it's been. And let's raise a toast to all those who are no longer here. My friends, your friends, our family. Thank you.